Good morning. It's good to be here this morning to see all of you. I recently shaved my beard, and obviously, it's kind of interesting who notices right away and who doesn't. And my grandson, who has never seen me without a beard, it went without a step. He didn't even notice it one way or the other. So far, the person that's taken the longest to notice is my wife. That says a lot about how we become when we become familiar with each other, what we notice and what's important. And so I thought that was interesting. But really, I did it, but I could kind of make a joke. And I think it's okay to make the joke because I know David, so I think it's okay. I shaved it off my face because I didn't think it was fair that I had more hair than he did. So he's got it on his chin and I have it on my head. So kind of equals out. No, really, seriously, though, that was just a joke. I am glad to see all of you here today. I see a lot of different faces. And I see a lot of other things besides your faces, and that's because I know you. I see some elderly people. I see some people that need help getting around from day to day because I see the walkers and the wheelchairs. I see young people, teenagers, middle-aged young people, young adults. I see a lot of different things. I see those that have college educations, some that do not. Some that got their education in a high school, some homeschooled. Some of us were born in the United States. I see some here that were not born in the United States. There's a homeless person with us. I see some members that are here with us that have yet to be baptized. And I see some people that are baptized in another church. I see some young people that are from another country. I see a gentleman here from another country. So my point is, there's a very mixed group of people here today. And I made a joke with my brother because I felt it was okay and I knew him. But if I was looking in and I didn't know you specifically, I wouldn't know any of those things by looking at your faces. I wouldn't know anything about you. I wouldn't know that some of you work on Sunday and some of you do not. I wouldn't know that we have a veterinarian. Wouldn't know that we have teachers. We have students. All kinds of different things about you that I know. But keep that in mind, because that's kind of what this sermon is about today. I'd like to open with a reading out of Philippians, second chapter, beginning in verse 1. If there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man to his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So that looking to other people and being of one mind. You know, really, I sum that up as just being not selfish. You know, we can be selfish in a lot of different ways. We can be selfish in the things that we want to do, and we can we can hold that up in our minds and make it a priority in our lives and make it the most important thing and become very selfish. Or we can do, as it says here, have that spirit of fellowship, have mercy upon one another, have love for one another, have the mind of Jesus Christ, and set our selfishness aside. And sometimes when we get selfish, that's when we forget about others. We forget about Jesus Christ. We forget about our purpose that we have coming together with each other. We forget about all of that, and we just think of ourselves. We think about what we believe, what we desire. We think about what we want, what we think is right. That's the one that really gets us in trouble, when we think we're right in something. Sometimes I hear, so many times I hear, you know, what's wrong with the church? Well, we have this problem, we have that problem, I know this is it, whatever. And it's kind of sometimes a selfish attitude that pushes us into that spot, because we think we have the answer. We think we know because we have a particular desire, or we have a particular belief, or we have a particular vision, insight, so we think we can fix everything and we know what's wrong. And that's kind of a selfish attitude. And we divide up on those things sometimes, and there's issues in the church. I don't intend to scratch an itch, but we have issues that sometimes fall into that category. And sometimes I hear it from the pulpit, which I think isn't beneficial. So I'm really talking very general. But I'm hoping you're conjuring up those things in your mind and remembering those things and thinking about yourselves and thinking about what it is. Because all those things hold us back as a body. And they interfere with us, and they interfere with how God communicates to us. He's given us the scriptures, and sometimes we want to have our own interpretation, and we want to apply that, and we're certain that's the answer, rather than first going to God and asking for wisdom and giving a place in our lives, in our hearts, in our mind to receive the answer. Because if we already believe we have the answer, how can he change our mind if we already know what we believe is right? And so we have to be able to be humble in order to receive things. I'd like to go to James chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. So what does that mean? Well, when I look up masters, Strong's, it says teachers. And so he's talking about those that would teach in the church. So let's just put that word in there. My brethren, be not many teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. So what condemnation are we talking about if we teach falsely? And it's easy to teach falsely. You know, I can misunderstand. I can read the scriptures and misunderstand and teach something and then repent of that once I've learned. But I can also teach falsely if I teach my own ideas and my own opinion, if I teach what I think is wrong with Christ's church, or if I teach what I think is wrong with all of you, when that's not my place. You know, I mentioned all those different various things about us as I looked out. And I could make that list longer. Some of us are married. Some of us are not. Some of us are widowed. Some of us are divorced and remarried. Some of us are married and have spouses that are not members of this church. And so as you see my point is that just keeps getting deeper and deeper and deeper. But we're all the body of Christ, or Christ has concern for all of us, no matter what our differences are. His grace. Is the greatest love. And we are expected to have that grace and to be of that mind. And so, where is your grace for one another? If we are to have the mind of Christ, do you have that grace for another? And it doesn't matter what you think is right. If someone offends you, or if there's something you believe that they're doing that is wrong, where's your grace? Are you going to attack that and try to correct it? Or are you going to have love in your heart and leave an opportunity for correction by our Heavenly Father? So as much as we rely upon that grace that Christ has for us, that love, we should love one another, even in our differences. Smokey the Bear said, only you can prevent a forest fire. And he also used to say, it only takes one match to start a fire. I don't see Smokey around too much, but that's kind of something from my childhood. I see posters around here and there. We have a potential for a lot of matches, a lot of little fires, when someone is offended in any of those things that I mentioned, or the multitude of many things that I haven't mentioned. And that can become a forest fire unless we put it out. Unless we put out that little fire. And so the best thing is to never light the match. And so that's what I think this James is about. In verse 2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. You know, I can put my foot in the mouth. I do it often. It happens. And I have no excuse for it. I do my best, but it still happens. And that's what this means. You know, we do our best, but we make mistakes. And I see a lot of charity amongst us, because I see articles that have been written, and things that people say where it's an opinion directly to a person, and I just sometimes think, how can you do that? And then I see that they're not offended. And so there's a lot of charity amongst us. And there is a lot of grace amongst us for each other, for those differences. But we should not abuse those things. We shouldn't light those little fires. It says, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of forces or fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Those little things that we say, those little jabs. There's a term nowadays called microaggression. I don't know if you know what those are. It's kind of like saying, you know, you would compliment somebody and then you kind of reverse that compliment immediately within the same sentence into a negative feedback. And we have a hard time as human beings controlling that. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we man, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. And so those little things that we say and that we do that offend others, you know, we should be mindful of them and do our best not to do that. And so I think there's a measuring stick that we should use. And the scriptures have already set that down before us. And we are told to have the mind of Christ. And so we've heard that phrase before. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? That's a good starting point. And then temper that with a little bit of grace. And then temper it even more with a little bit of mercy. And you might find that you say something completely different than what you thought you were going to say. Maybe it stops you. This is death. A fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt, water, and fresh water. So what kind of tree do you want to be? What kind of fountain do you want to be? That's really the question. In verse 13, who is a wise man and endueth and endowed with knowledge among you, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. So we are to always have good conversation as best we can with meekness and wisdom. Sometimes I hear the phrase, and I know it's kind of off the cuff, but I hear it and I wonder about that. And somebody says, well, I'll just ask for forgiveness later. And kind of when I hear that sometimes, it's kind of I get a little pang because I hear that, and what I hear is making a plan to offend somebody. It's like, well, today I'm going to offend somebody, and so I'll ask for forgiveness later. And I know sometimes this is a small thing, but why would we have a plan to offend somebody? I think that is the point. Not to offend. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. And so there it is. Selfishness. Selfishness. If we become preoccupied with ourselves and we don't recognize the needs of others, then we can offend. It not only offends us, the spirit that we carry with us, not only it offends our Heavenly Father, but it also offends one another if we do these things. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easily to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And so do we make peace? Are we, when we begin to say, I know what's wrong with the church, and you make your own list. I'm not going to scratch that itch this morning. You know, I guess I will, actually, with one kind of minor thing. You know, sometimes I hear about the manner of dress somebody comes into church with. So-and-so, you know, like they wear shorts or so-and-so or whatever. Doesn't matter. I'm not trying to single anybody out or point anybody out. But there's always some sort of criticism as to somebody's dress. Okay, what has that got to do with the gospel? What has that got to do with somebody's salvation? That's the question. You know, I've been to India a few times, and they show up for church, and some of the ladies show up in traditional dress. And and because of the hot climate and because of their traditions, it's not offensive. But if that person showed up here, dressed that way, there would be those here that would be offended for various reasons. Are they any less a sister because they're in India or because of their traditional dress? That doesn't matter. And that's my point. The Church of Christ is everywhere in the world. There are so many different cultures, so many ideas of what's appropriate, so many things that are considered normal that in this building, in this place, wouldn't be. And are we going to take offense at those things? Or are we going to exercise a little bit of grace, a little bit of understanding, and have love? That's what I'm talking about. And it's a small matter. It's a small matter, but it's a match. And so let's put the fire out. You know, I don't know how many people are watching the sermon today. I really kind of have had this in my mind for a long time to give this sermon, but it's kind of an uncomfortable sermon. And I thought when Steve gave his sermon last week that I was off the hook, but I wasn't. He left a few things unsaid, and so I need to say some of those today, and I am. But when I think about our church has an outreach into various communities, various cultures, we have to really use that. What does it matter in the gospel of Christ and the whole scheme of salvation? Does it make a difference? That's a big question, and it's an important question. In Romans chapter 12, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I think that's key. What is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. All of those things mixed together. Not my will, not acceptable to me, but what is the will of God? For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And so we begin to think of ourselves as important or a little bit better, or we might begin to think that, you know, we have the answer. And there we are in that selfish attitude and not being humble. And so I hear that question, what's wrong with the church? And it bothers me. It bothers me. I hear the question, why don't we have more of the blessings? There must be something wrong. I hear that question too. And it kind of falls into this category. And it's because we have an idea of how we think God should treat us. He has a better idea. He treats us as we need to be treated. And that's not always how we want to be treated. And he takes care of everything. And so we have to keep that humility in mind, even when dealing with one another. Because with the next step is when we ask, what's wrong with the church? Why don't we have these blessings? Our only recourse, because we can't do anything about it, the next thing that starts are the accusations. Well, this or that. This person does that, or I've seen this or that. We have over here, we have whatever. And there, where are we? Not humble and not where the Lord wants us to be. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think of, to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. And so when you look at office, it can kind of be interpreted two things, as an office like priesthood, which we use the scripture for that quite a bit, which is really a part of what it's about, but it also means activity. And that's kind of like office, the person, what they're appointed to do, and then the second importance on the definition is activity. So we have all these different activities, and I mentioned all of them this morning. Some of them, I can't come up with a list of all of them. I guess I could. I started writing them down and interviewing you individually. I could probably come up with all of that. But it's talking about the body as we sit today. And the various degrees of individual lives that we have as part of the body. And so we have all these members and all these different types of activities and all these offices, and we have all these things. How do we become united? How do we become united with all these ideas? And some of those ideas are important to us because it's important to my walk of faith that I stay away from certain things. And maybe to somebody else, it's not important to. And so my problem is not your problem, and your problem is not my problem, and my walk of faith is going to look a little bit different than your walk of faith. So how do we have unity in that? We do it by being humble. We do it by having grace for one another and having a peaceable understanding with one another. And that should always be what we strive for. Like we're told in Hebrews, Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so our goal is to please God. That's our number one priority. That should be the number one priority in your life, to please God. That you do what He wants you to do. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, and he that ruleth with diligence, that he showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And so here are these operations of the church, different activities that we all have. And we should do them with mercy and cheerfulness. And we should do them with simplicity. And when you look that up, basically it means love. To do it with simplicity. No other motivation, but in the motivation that it's done with love. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Well, that's one we have sometimes trouble with. Bless and curse not. And I'm not talking about pronouncing a curse upon somebody. What I'm saying is passing judgment on somebody. Because it's not the way we think it should be. And so we pronounce a curse, in a sense. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. And so sometimes we can be misstep. Sometimes we can be wise in our own conceits, and we can teach our own opinions, our own belief, our own thoughts, our own ideas. Women should work in the home and be only a homemaker. If you care about your kids, you should homeschool them. If you truly love the Lord, you wouldn't work on Sunday. Oh, this person's been divorced. What's the matter with them? Oh, I wouldn't like them. They're divorced. Shouldn't like them. Oh, so-and-so's husband, wife, whatever, is not a member of the church. Well, you know, they like football. Eh, you know where I'm going with this. I'm not trying to scratch the itch. I just find that I need to be blunt. Because sometimes these things seem so small to us that we just pass them off. But it's about the greater attitude that we have. And the attitude that we have is a body of Christ. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Live peaceably. Next time, before we say something or teach something or do something, is it bringing peace to the body? As our brother says it quite a bit, let's all just get along. Let's get along with one another. Let's be peaceful with one another. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. You know, he takes care of all those things. It's not for us to pronounce a curse upon someone or pass judgment in those things. God will take care of it. Now, I'm not saying that we need to forget that there are rules. I'm not saying that we need to forget that there are commandments and there's things that we should govern ourselves by according to the rules of the church. We need to do all of those things. But we need to have compassion for others and help one another do those things and do it with love. As we are instructed in the Book of Mormon, that there is no, so that there would be no iniquity amongst us. And yet we have to do those things with love. And that's the most difficult thing. And so we're already taking a difficult situation and making it more difficult by adding a little spark to the fire. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirsteth, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So we are to overcome evil with good. What is good? Micah chapter 6. Verse 8. He hath showeth thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? That's good. That's what God is showing us. That's what the Lord is showing us what is good. Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 says, Master, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. You know, it's interesting that he's speaking here to masters that are masters of slaves and instructing them to remember who they all answer to. And that is how it is for us. We all answer to the same God. We all have the same creator. We all have the same expectation and the same need. Desire to please God. Withal, praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. And so I take that as instruction to the ministry. You know, it's not right if I stand up here at the pulpit and I preach and say what is right and wrong, what I think you should or shouldn't do, and it has nothing to do with the gospel. As if it has only, if it's only about what I think or my opinion, then it's wrong. It has to be about that measuring stick that we have, is the Word of God. And so when I think about different cultures, different things, ways people live, I can't go into another country and say, you've got to live like you live in we live in the United States, because that's the right way to do it. Can't do that. That isn't right in the gospel. And some countries would boot us out and we wouldn't even have a chance to be there, because we would be causing contention and a problem amongst their people. So we have to stay from the pulpit, we have to stay with the Word of God and leave our personal ideas and notions out of it. It says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Seasoned with salt. That's an interesting phrase. Interesting phrase. Back in ancient culture, if I had a disagreement with you or someone, and we were going to make peace, I would invite you over to my house, and we would have a meal. And that meal could possibly be, in some of those ancient cultures, a bread and salt. And salt has a lot of symbolism. And it is a symbol of hospitality. It's a symbol of agreement and a symbol of peace. And so let your speech be seasoned with grace and seasoned with salt. And that's how you ought to answer the man. So we're not to fight and argue about things. We're to keep peace. And if my speech is to have the salt of friendship and the salt of speech, then what the substance of it is should be good things and right before God. And many times we argue in this church over issues. Sometimes don't really matter in the grand scheme of what God is trying to teach us, but we have a personal idea and a thought at how to fix the church and what's wrong. And so we dig in and we throw the salt out the window. So I'd like to end there. I'm not going to take a lot of time. A lot to think about, a lot to unpack. I didn't want to just throw scripture after scripture after scripture at this. And so I'd like to, for my final scripture, reread Micah 6:8. He hath shown thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? Thank you for your time. I do appreciate it.